You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
He was a pretty tough guy, real tough guy. He taught me integrity. He taught me he was hard as nails. The man didn't lie, and the man never.
Why is it that people with integrity seem, you know, I've interviewed presidents and big shots and billionaires. It does seem to be consistent that one of the threads, like the one of the threads that they read a lot, one of the threads is humility. One of the threads is integrity. For some reason, you know, like I tell people you're in sales. I say, well, you know, you become a professional salesperson the day you stand in front of somebody and you realize what you're selling is not appropriate for this person. And you're willing to say, you know what? My product's not right for you. If you find someone who does this, 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 send them my way. I'd like to sell them.
Right.
But I've got somebody else who'd be good for you, better than me, blah, blah, blah. That's the day. When you turn down business, then you become a professional salesman.
And I do it all. And I do it all the time. But that's
Well, you do. So he taught you integrity, because it seems like integrity. People who have integrity, they get blessed. I wonder why that is. It's God's law of reciprocity.
Well, all over the New Testament, I'm trying to remember the verse, but it says a man of his word is a God's man.
So if you give me your word, I got.
Yeah, it's in the book of Numbers, actually. Yeah. And where it talks about a man and his word. And, I learned that if you become a man of your word.
And now you're very prosperous as a, you have a sod business.
Right.
Among now, other things?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. I got the sod business going. I'll talk more about that here in a second. But I was still using, though. So you know how hard
how
it is.
Are you now?
Oh, right
at
now I'm in my late 20s.
You're in your late 20s, okay.
And we've done a lot of drugs.
So you're learning the sod business.
I'm learning the sod business.
You're married to his daughter.
I'm married to his daughter.
But you're doing coke and, on the side.
Oh, I'm doing coke all the time.
All the time. And he had no
every
idea.
Day. No, nobody had any idea. I was good at covering it up.
People can cover that up, isn't it?
It is. I was good at covering it up until I wasn't. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't around people who knew what they'll be looking for, neither.
Well, because you hear stories of people coming into 12-step programs, and they said, oh, yeah, when I spoke here 2 years ago, I was actually drunk. They spoke.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They don't even know it.
People do that. People do that.
That's what addicts do.
If their lips are moving, they're usually lying. Especially if they're in their active addiction.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah.
But I had some back issues growing up. Growing up on a farm and doing other things, and a few accidents. And
that's called working for a living.
I had broke my back, and I had to have back surgery. This is 2003. I had my appendix out, and then shortly thereafter, my back was. They meaning the doctors had asked me to have surgery.
How old are you now?
I was 30. Yeah, I was 30. And
young to have back surgery. Gee.
So 2004, I was 30. I was 34. You know, so 33. I had back surgery and 6 screws, 2 rods, and a cage put in. Rhett, I was so full of pride because, again, I'm using cocaine. Mm. My mother's a diehard Catholic. I just want to speak on that for a second because it goes in line with what I'm going to say. And my mother loved the Lord with all her heart. I mean, she was above what I call just the ritualistic part of it. She was about relationships. She read her Bible and so on and so forth. And
she's praying for her son, I presume.
She's praying for her son. And she calls me up and she finds out I'm in the hospital. I'm getting ready to have surgery. And my mother goes, honey, don't worry nothing about it. God allows everything to happen for a reason. I said, are you kidding me? Mom, I'm finally making money. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I said, I'm going to boycott God if God did this to me. And this is exactly what I said to my mother. And it was the first time in my life I ever came short of cussing at my mother. Mm. Never, ever have I ever come so close in my life as that day. Mm. Of course, I was jonesing. I was getting ready to go in for surgery. Mm. I just, my mind was going wild.
What's jonesing mean?
I was wanting to take a hit of cocaine.
Oh, okay.
I was wanting to.
Oh, that's what that means. You had a desire.
Yeah, I had a high desire. Mm. And I actually had used that morning already prior to the surgery, but I knew I couldn't use within an hour or two.
You better watch out with those anesthesiologists. Oh, I know a girl here lost her life.
I know. Well, listen, but this is the madness of what we do. This is the madness of what we do, Rat. You know,
so you did cocaine before you went.
Exactly. And
how many hours surgery on your back?
Wound up being six. And they cut me wide open. This wasn't like the surgeries I have today. I can show you the back scar. The back, the lower back. I now have 10 screws there, but we'll get there. And so I had surgery. Got mad at my mom. Came out of surgery. Got somewhat back to moving again. And then I got caught by my wife with cocaine. My wife didn't mind drinking with me. But she hated cocaine.
Why?
Because she saw the destruction on her two brothers. She saw the destruction of all my other friends. If anything she hated that drug.
So she lays down the law?
So, well, she comes in and she finds it and she comes out, goes out in my storage shed for some reason. And because that's where I go out to the shed and do it all the time. You know, I was sharpening the lawnmower blades all the time out there. You know what I mean? And, she finds the rolled up dollar bill on the floor because I was so blasted when I went in the house. She found like half a gram of cocaine and she comes in. And I'm passed out on a Sunday morning. She comes in. I won't use the word she used and the name she called me because I don't want to get bleeps on the radio here. Yeah, I got up and told her where to go and everybody else. And in my stupid, short-sighted thinking, I thought, you know what? I actually got money in the bank. I'm going to leave her with that. I'll leave her the house. I'm going to get on my $35,000 motorcycle at the time. And I'm going to go live the way I want to live. Screw everybody. And that's where I was at. Walked right out of my children's life. Walked right out of my wife's life. Just like that. Mm. And out the door I went. High as a kite.
Now, you're still working for the mafia?
No.
Okay.
I quit them when I came to Florida.
Okay.
And that was a big help of my dad.
You want to get rid of that because otherwise they're not going to let you go so easy.
Oh, well, they probably wouldn't have me involved once I was messed up anyways because they don't like people that are sloppy.
Yeah, the Italians don't like, they don't want the drugs and stuff.
No, they don't.
But
the offer they can't refuse is nobody can refuse addiction if you're actively in your addiction. I don't care what's involved. You're not going to refuse.
Is a whole funny thing. I know this girl in this town's been, she lived in a tool shed. Mm-hmm. And she was totally addicted. Well, she would go to the Catholic Church in New York City.
Yep.
And she'd sit behind the mafia.
Sure.
Because they put $100 bills in.
So absolutely. She had it all figured out.
She pulled the money out of there. Buying dope.
Sure.
Bad money went to bad money.
Amen. So I take off. Of course, I meet another girl. Nikki was her name. Nikki and I partied for 9 months. Real hardy. Blew through a couple $100,000. Not that that matters, but we.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't matter if it's 10,000, 20, 10, it doesn't matter when you're out there doing what we're doing. So, I mean, her and I went to the Bahamas on a cruise, and I mean, we did all kinds of crazy stuff. Again, I'll save those stories for maybe another interview, but because we can talk for 3 hours, and you'll see the parts I get into now. So, I comes up Christmas time, 2004. Nikki and I are together. We go to the Rent-A-Center, and she goes in and gets probably $3,000 to $4,000 maximum credit line of what they'll give her at the Rent-A-Center so she can give her daughter Christmas gifts because she had two kids. She had a 14-year-old and a 6-year-old who were wonderful children, by the way. I mean, growing up in the kind of chaos they were good kids. They really were good kids. And I said, how are you going to pay for that? Not that I really cared, but, you know. She goes, I'll figure it out when the bill comes due. I'm like, these kids are going to get this stuff taken away in a month. You know what I'm saying? Because she ain't going to pay for it. But here nor there, we do Christmas. Don't even see my kids for that Christmas because I'm so messed up. I can't even bear to see my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because we're divorced now. We went through the divorce and all that good stuff. And January the 5th, 2005, right after, in the parking lot of the Chevron station on State Road 76 in Martin County. There's a Cracker Barrel there. There's a McDonald's there. There's a Chevron station. Well, we're in the parking lot between the Chevron and the McDonald's. Me and her brother get into a fight. And he pulled a knife on me, and he got his teeth knocked out of his mouth. And him and I went at it, and it was a really...
Did he stab you?
Violent, no. He came close, but very violent fight, I'm going to call it. She's screaming, freaking out.
Of course, he lost his teeth.
The guy in the Chevron station now has called 911, okay, because he sees all this chaos going on. And as I walk away, because he's on the ground bleeding out of his mouth, and I'm walking away.
Like I'm
John Wayne or something, you know what I'm saying?
And
I'm walking to my truck, and all of a sudden, he pulls the gun out, starts shooting at me. How he missed me, Rhett, God, hear me? He unloaded his six-shooter, because I know to count shots when that stuff goes down, but he unloaded the six-shooter, and I was 10 feet to my truck, and I can hear the bullet holes hitting my truck, ting, 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 ting. He gets in his S-15 pickup truck, drives over the median, and hits me and runs me over with his pickup truck. Literally, I go flying in the air, land flat on my back, bust a screw, bend a rod. I'm so messed up on dope that I decide I don't want to go in the ambulance and go to get checked out because I still had an ounce of crack cocaine sitting in my house. And I knew if I got in that ambulance, I was going to go 8 hours without a hit. So I was like, nah, they were like, you're crazy. You got to go, man. You could have internal bleeding. I was like, nope, I'm not going. They chased him down 95, picked him up down by Jupiter somewhere. I mean, they came with helicopters, dogs, because once shots were fired, it was a full scene. And so finally I go back to my condo I had in the PGA Village and didn't pay rent there for 8 months, but the landlord was scared to death of me, so he wouldn't throw me out. He was afraid I was going to come back and do something really weird to him, which I told him I would. You know, those things happen.
You're a bully.
I was very much a bully. And my house didn't have anything in it because I had sold everything for crack. You know, I mean, we were living like complete crackheads. Didn't do the bed linens for 6 months. Didn't wash dishes. Disgusting. The place stunk. It looked like it was horrible. So at the end of the day, she takes me to the hospital because I'm running low on crack. And I figure I'll go to the hospital, get some pain pills because I could trade that for crack because I wasn't into no pain pills. So I go to the hospital, and this is where the turning point begins. I get in there 11 o'clock at night. I was literally blown a hit of crack out of my mouth when I walked into the Port St. Lucie Hospital over on Tiffany. I mean, I could remember the smoke coming out of my mouth. She goes in with me. Finally, they call me to the back, and they want to do like 3 or 4 x-rays on me. And I'm like, okay, enough is enough. I just want to get my script so I can go.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Sunrise, you gave new life forever. When you stepped outside, left death behind forever. Hope away. Center.